We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Spring is here, and you can now get almost anything you need for your sunny days delivered with Uber Eats. What do we mean by almost? Well, you can't get a well-groomed lawn delivered, but you can get a chicken parmesan delivered. A cabana? That's a no. But a banana? That's a yes. A nice tan? Sorry. Nope. But a box fan? Happily yes. A day of sunshine? No. A box of fine wines? Yes. Uber Eats can definitely get you that. Get almost anything delivered with Uber Eats. Order now. Alcohol in select markets. Product availability may vary by region. See app for details.
Hey, Chicago, what do you say? It's the CHGO Cubs postgame show podcast presented by PointsBet. Use the promo code CHGO when you sign up to get two risk-free bets up to $2,000. Luke Stuckmeyer, Corey Friedman, Cody Delmendo, and the Cubs with a nice win, now one away from the magic number of 70. They beat the Phillies. The push to 70 is underway.
The march to 69 is complete. March it's very to 69 nice.
Is we complete. Did it, everyone.
What a moment. The march to 63 or the quest for 63 was one we'll remember in CHGO sports history. But man, when they hit 69, oh, was it nice, guys? It was one of the nicest wins of the season.
But are they going to help? As in the chat, it just mentioned, Jack says, are they going to help the Brewers make the playoffs?
Well, I've been following the Cardinals and the Brewers game, and it is
because I don't want that.
It's currently 2-1 Milwaukee in the bottom of the eighth. It's like it's a game and a half. It's a game and a half separate them right now.
The Cubs aren't playing like great in this series. The Phillies are just
yes,
not.
Yes, they're giving it away.
The Phillies are looking like out. The Mets last week or 2 weeks ago, whenever they played. Like they're literally like they look like the 2019 Cubs right now.
But so we're in the march to 70. And then we still have a shot. Are the Sox still losing? Sox lost, so we still can finish with the same record at the end of the season. It is still mathematically possible that the Cubs and Sox will finish with the same record. That's something else to shoot for.
Cody's going to have some thoughts. If
these are lofty goals that we're shooting for here.
Well, that would be, you know, it'd be nice. It'd be city unity that way. We'd all have the same amount of wins and losses.
I'm sure that's how the
we'd all be together
Sox
as
guys
one.
Feel about that.
Also. The season total over is still alive, guys. I had it at 75.5. It's still alive. Just saying.
It is still there.
It can happen. It can happen.
I mean, this game, you know, I'll be honest. I missed some plays.
Did you, Luke?
The TV was on, but did I miss a few plays? I'd look, oh, Nico's up. Who you got? Morel continues to make you think that he's not just a utility guy. At least for me, he does. I know in my heart I want to say he's probably just a utility guy, but you have to remind yourself he just turned 23 in the middle of the season.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of guys aren't even in the majors yet. So he's not only there, he's had some slumps, and he's been able to push through them.
Home run against Zach Wheeler last night, and then he said, hold my beer, and did it against Aaron Nola tonight? Like,
and again, after he had a big slump.
That. Yeah.
And all while being asked to play
over the field.
Six different defensive positions. Yeah, like, I mean, I think Ross said that might be the role they envision for him, and depending on how they change this roster in the offseason. But I think even if he is a utility man, I think that's going to be a utility man that's playing quite a bit. Like, maybe it's not every day, but I can see him in a situation where he is bouncing all over the field, giving guys a day off, but he's getting in there a lot.
Yeah, what I had said last night, Corey, to Cody was, I like the idea. Don't get me wrong. I like the idea of the flexibility that Morrell gives you. I liked it when Chris Bryant gave it to you. I just don't want a team full of those guys. Mm-hmm. Like, if he's going to be that guy, let Morrell be that guy. Let him be Zobrist. You don't want a field full of Ben Zobrist. You need a better mix than that. Like, even if you have two of those guys, okay, great. But you can't have, like, five of those guys on your team or you're not going to be a good team.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm not saying Morrell's a bad player at all. I'm just saying.
No, I know that.
You need some legit stars that just want it. You're like, he's not moving from that spot.
Yeah. Well.
Or is that old school thinking?
In 2016, though, like, I felt like that team was super versatile. Like,
I mean, Rizzo was going to play first.
You knew Rizzo was going to play
first. It was like, what, Javi and Zobrist were moving around?
Javi and Zobrist were the versatile guys. But you also knew you could play Chris Bryant in the outfield if you absolutely needed to.
You needed to, but who else was going to play third that you had to get over at third?
That's the thing, though. It's like, you know what I mean? And then, you know, in the outfield, you knew you could play Hayward in center if you absolutely had to. Mm-hmm. But he always played in right. And then left field was always just the toss-up between Chris Coughlin and Jorge Soler and anyone else that I'm forgetting. Ben Zobrist, if they played Javi at second, you know. So
PS5 says with a little extra weight, Morrell reminds him of Aramis Ramirez. Listen, if the end result is Aramis Ramirez,
I mean,
take it.
Sign me up.
He actually plays harder than Aramis Ramirez, too. I mean, everyone used to yell about Aramis not running hard to first.
That was one of the things he, yeah. But boy, could he hit.
He can hit. He could hit, though.
So, yeah, I mean, I he's just, again, of the positives. I think Marquis had the question, was it yesterday or tonight? Who's the Cubs?
Tonight.
Best rookie. Yeah. That was tonight?
Mm-hmm. It was tonight.
Yeah. I don't know how it's not Morrell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we were talking that, like, if Seiya had stayed mostly healthy for this year, I think it's probably Seiya. But
right.
I think for a 23-year-old to come up and play all over the field, they, you know,
skipped
he did
triple
the thing
A,
yesterday,
basically.
Right, where he, you know, is, you know, he's stolen some bases, he's hitting the home runs, playing all over the field. It's been quite impressive. I think you could argue between the two of them, though. Seiya's overall numbers on offense are a bit better, but not by that much, I don't think, overall.
He's been at, well, Seiya's also been asked just to play one position.
Right.
Right, yeah. Yeah, and again, if Seiya had been healthy, his numbers would probably be better if he'd been mostly healthy all season, right? But they both have been similar in the fact that, yeah, they've had hot streaks and they've looked like they're lighting the world on fire. And they've also had down moments too. So, like, they look like rookies in the majors. But I don't know, man. They both look like they have bright futures on this team.
It's pretty close, honestly, looking at it. Like, if you're looking at some of these numbers, Morrell's at 1.6 WAR, 111 WRC+, Seiya's at 115 WRC+, 1.7 WAR. So, like, if you're looking at, like, value-created stats right. on fan graphs, pretty close.
Pretty close.
So,
and why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
What's even more?
Well, Cody's the analytics guy. I'm
right.
not yeah, trying to steal his thunder, but, yeah.
For some reason around here. I did log on to Baseball Savant tonight.
See?
For, like, 5 seconds, but.
Just a numbers guy.
Yeah.
It's another number cruncher.
Say
just,
has 13
I open,
home
I open
runs.
The app Morrell and look at the numbers and then tell tonight. You all about them, guys.
No, remember, though, Say started with the team at the beginning of the season,
that,
too. Morrell,
was,
so that's
I was
why it
to
is
say that too.
Fairly apples to apples.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I think they're both, for rookie seasons, obviously they're very different, you know, context, but for rookie seasons, I think, like, you're pretty thrilled on both of them. Say, I think, was a very successful season given the transition he had to make. And Morrell, like, we didn't even think Morrell was going to be on this team when we were doing
guys
these preseason,
like,
podcasts, right? And now you've got
in
a...
In terms of, you know, if you want to... I'm a betting guy. Everyone knows that. Like,
what?
Morrell is, like, one of the top five of, like, the lowest odds to win NL Rookie of the Year. Him and Seiya Suzuki both are. It's probably going to be Strider or Harris in Atlanta. But, again, like, it's not like they're at the bottom of the list, like... Both of them have been two of the best rookies in the National League this year. And the fact that Morrell did it when he got caught up, started doing it when he got caught up in May, like, That's a whole month missed, and he's in this race.
So I mean, I think they both represent. I mean, I think for Seiya in particular, I think you're kind of hoping that next year he's settled in a little more, has a more normal off-season routine, gets that homer total up a little bit. But like for both of them, I feel like they look like really solid. You know, maybe they're not the stars of a competitive division-winning team, but very, very strong contributors, producers. Wherever they're, you know, for Morel, wherever he's playing, like you're, those are the kind of guys I think you're looking at when you're talking about like the foundation being there for them to be aggressive this offseason. And maybe these, maybe you don't have a ton of like the stars here, but you do have depth and pieces that are going to contribute on a pretty high level, I think.
I think they found more pieces this year than I expected them to find. I'm not saying star pieces, although I think Nico could be that star guy.
Sure.
Which I didn't think they'd find any of those out of that group of players that was coming in. I wasn't sure there was necessarily a star player in there. By the way, yes, if you're watching on YouTube, yes, Corey and I are wearing the same shirt. That's right. Points bet for life.
We didn't plan it either.
And the chat is really flying. Again, for as late in the season as we are for a bad team, the chat is... alive tonight. Shane is there. Drive Secure. Michael. David. I saw David Elliott saying to Corey, hey, there is no math on this podcast. Save it for the series review with Brendan.
That's fair.
Thank you. Thank you.
No, it's a fair point.
Speaking of Brendan, you know, we asked him when he joined us remotely about pitching prospects because it was the last time Wesneski pitched. And I said, so, you know, you re-rank these guys all the time. Who are you most excited about of all the pitching prospects, including Killian? I mean, on down the line, and he was like, Wesneski, number one. Number one. And I let him include Steele, and I let him include Thompson, and he still said Wesneski. Are you as hot on Wesneski as the pitch doctor?
Well, I mean, the issue is that a lot of what's informing his excitement I receive in various text messages or on our Skype calls when we're recording the shows. So I am I'm indoctrinated, if you will, on all this information. Like, it's tough. I would, like, offhand, I would say it's probably him or Justin Steele. Justin Steele has been really impressive this year, and like the steps that he's taken, how he's added to his pitch mix, and just executed as the year has gone on. I think the thing with Wesneski, though, is he just has such a diverse repertoire of pitches and the velo. And like you see it tonight, like some of those pitches, they move in a way and they, you know, he's dotting the corners on some of those breaking pitches. It's easy to see. Like, I think if you're looking at like which guy is, nobody's a sure thing, but like a surefire, like this guy can be a starter middle to high part of the rotation. I think like just on stuff and like the prospect of it all, I think it is probably Hayden Wesneski.
Higher ceiling, maybe.
Yeah, maybe that's a better way to put it, yeah.
Because I do think Steele, at the very least, worst case scenario, I watch him now and I think, well, at worst case scenario, he's a three. I really do, especially because he's left-handed. I see him and I think, well, could I see him being a one or a two? Yes. Could I see him being worse than a three? Boy, it'd be a really good, good pitching staff.
A really impressive year. Yeah, no doubt.
And he was a guy that, again, he himself probably had high expectations, but I don't know if Cubs fans in general had like expectations that you'd be talking about Justin Steele at this point in the season about him being a one or two next year.
Yeah.
Or worst case scenario, a three in a really good rotation.
When I think for Steele, too, like what's impressive is that he, over the past couple of years, you know, you even go back to like the COVID year, like he's come in relief for the Cubs. He's been up, he's been down. Like to be able to balance all that and come into this year and put together, obviously he's, you know, dealing with the injury here that's going to prevent him from going start to finish, right? But like he has put together a really strong and consistent year. He's been good all year, you know? battled through some stuff, made some adjustments, but he was very nearly close to going like pole to pole in the rotation, just delivering quality starts and really good stuff and just sort of getting better as the year was going on, right? Like in the beginning of the year, we were talking so much, he was going like four innings or things like that, and he just got better and better, and like everything you wanted him to do, he kept doing.
I don't want to get you too excited, but I think it's fair to say that his season kind of turned when John Lester said, pound the fastball.
I mean, you don't have to convince me.
Right? Like, I mean, realistically,
everybody
it is.
Everybody should listen to John Lester.
He was just
kind of,
it was kind of the up and down. We're like, I don't know. He's a reliever. He's a starter. And then Lester's like, dude, start throwing your fastball. And he took it to heart, and it's worked all season.
Yeah. And he's got the same, like, mentality as John Lester on the mound. Like, big Lester vibes, right?
John's got good advice for everybody. He tells Justin Steele what pitches to throw. He would tell Cody to start slamming Miller Lite. You know what I mean?
He should have told David Ross not to do Dancing with the Stars.
I bet he did.
Don't do Dancing with the Stars. Don't do it. You'll regret it for your whole life.
I stand.
So what did you think of Wesneski tonight? Shane says he's just that dude in him.
Yeah.
At the swag.
Well, the first time through the order was good. It was really good. Then second time, the Phillies adjusted a little bit. He gave up a run on the sack fly, I believe. But then I thought he was able to get through to and into the fifth or into the sixth inning, right? He gave up a hit and then they took him out. But I thought he adjusted well back, considering how the Phillies adjusted to him, right? And like, this was a big test for him, right? Like, we've seen him perform well against the Pirates and I think the Reds too. Mm-hmm. And so this lineup is a good lineup. Like, Kyle Schwarber, Nick Castellanos, Bryce Harper, like that's a lineup of dudes. And so would I say I was overly impressed? No, but it was, I'm just glad he didn't go out there and get shelled, because if he went out there and got shelled, then we'd be sitting here probably, you know, thinking, maybe we should take a step back on maybe our optimism. But five strong against that lineup and your fifth career start or whatever it was, like, I'll take it, man.
I thought it was a nice start. I mean, he had, I know one of those innings, I can't remember who tweeted it, but I know one of those innings where he gave up multiple hits. All of the balls were under 80 miles an hour, right? And, like, you know,
they're all little blue.
Yeah, you make of exit velocity what you want, but like,
shift, they beat the shift a few times.
Yeah, they're not squaring him up. They're not barreling him in, you know, to get those hits. That's what's important. We've seen him strike more guys out, so that total was down tonight. But, like, yeah, like Cody said, against this offense, against a team that is desperately trying to make the playoffs in the Phillies, like, that was a nice start from Hayden. He made some really good pitches to some really good professional, like, accomplished hitters tonight. And that's my main takeaway, right? He's only a few starts into his big league career. Each line is not super important to me, but like watching the way he was pitching to Bryce Harper or Reese Hoskins or, you know, Schwarbs at the top of the order, like that. And he's, you know, we see him, he's strutting off the mound. He's poised. He's making these pitches. Like, that was impressive to me. So like to see him go deeper. Sure. But that's a nice start.
Should we take care of who you got? Because Ryan's guy is not involved in who you got.
Who did he take? Hap?
He took Hap.
My guy is now so not involved.
So it's down to Wesneski or my guy Nico. I will state my case.
Ryan's going to be mad. He would be against you, so I think he's
I will
be
state
mad.
My
he's
who you got case. And again, this is down to the nitty gritty. We have 7 games left. Cody leads by 1, depending on what numbers you trust going into this.
Oh,
now, if Maverick
God.
Is involved, as we know, Maverick is in my heart, we're tied going into this. I will point out that my man, Nico Hoerner, tied, first of all, got a base hit that was a rocket shot up the middle, right? Then he went around to score and tie the game. So he scored the game-tying run, all right? And he had a base hit. Then I will say about Hayden Wesneski, what Cody Del Mendo just said about his player at 10:02 on live podcast. Would I say I was overly impressed? Question mark? No.
Wrote it down in the notes app. He just notes tapped.
End of quote. Would I say I was overly impressed?
We all heard
No. Fact, and I rest my case.
Wow.
Can I now have the camera on me now?
Yes.
Is that possible, Joey?
Hold on.
The chat.
Stucky has now finished his opening arguments, and we will turn the floor over to Cody.
Your Honor, I rest my case.
The chat's going for Cody, I got to tell you.
Do we have to turn the camera?
Shane says Stucky would be a bad lawyer. Well, yes, Morrell would have won. Morrell would have won if somebody picked him, but nobody picked Morrell.
Okay.
Now Marcus does say Nico.
All right, Stucky. You had your turn. You had your turn.
I was
my guy
time.
Went into the sixth inning, only gave up one run, struck out three, and even though he had two walks, one of those walks was bullshit. And if you were watching, he had the strikeout on that ball four that umpire missed. So it should have only been one walk. Again, not even 10 career starts. He went up against that lineup. I think this is an easy one. And even the chat is saying that too. Shane says Cody wins.
Some of the chat. Stands. I will say, my guy almost.
Nick G, Wesneski versus the Phils, almost getting a quality start is a big step.
Almost.
Who cares?
My guy should have been 2-for-4, an illegal review of a hit
bullshit.
By pitch. As called by Bucciambi, an illegal review.
The ball hit him, Stuck.
45 miles an hour.
He got hit by a pitch and swung at it.
First of all, it's not reviewable. And that space right
but
there.
But they.
We're getting a live demo here now.
Now.
Again, I'm not giving up on this one.
He says I win by default. I did pick Wilson, who went 0-for-4, but I like the logic.
And I will just say this one more time, and then, Your Honor, I will. This is the closing statement for the jury. Ladies and gentlemen, would I say I was overly impressed?
Oh my God.
The answer, no, from Cody Delmendo. On his player for who you got, Hayden Wesneski.
Overly impressed. That doesn't mean that I don't think he had a good night.
He's overly impressed.
He had a good night.
No, I was not.
He had a great night for our expectations.
Was it a quality start?
Was it a quality start?
It was not. So what is that? An unquality start.
You guys know I'm Stucky Nation, ride or die. So I'm going to vote for Luke.
Mike says, as a fellow ski,
I'm not going to defend it, though.
I'm going Wesneski. PS5 dat lie. Cody wins. Sorry, Grandpa. Judge rules in favor of Cody.
As a fellow ski, Dub says he's going with Wesneski.
Fine,
you can have the point, but
Stan.
Also, PS5 dat lie says that I have a sweet hoodie on, and that's a win already.
How about Stan?
Whoa, sweet hoodies.
Read this one, Corey.
Luke and I.
Points bet. You know this is lightweight. Cody was sweating during the game. Cody was sweating. We were lightweight.
I didn't even have this on during the game for most of it.
Just the right weight.
Stucky
I got
Nation.
A little M&M thing going on with this hood, don't I?
That's one shot, thing. Nick one G opportunity. Also, Nick G also points out that Wesneski is the winning pitcher of the game. And wins and losses do matter.
Will the real Slim Shady please stand up?
I can't believe you guys didn't even acknowledge him rapping the lyrics to Lose Yourself just now. That was
trying to maintain composure.
That's probably one of my favorite moments since we started this network.
I don't know him. I used to know him better.
Arm spaghetti.
Isn't it arm spaghetti? Palms weak and sweaty.
Mom spaghetti. Knees weak.
You guys get to come on YouTube and watch us for free. I'm just pointing that out.
You got one shot, one opportunity.
Just like Twitter, you know, I always tweet this app is free. You can come on YouTube and watch us for
can
free.
Can I read a stat that I'm seeing on the Twitter machine that I think is pretty interesting?
I gave myself a point, by the way. 26, 24.
Yeah.
26, what 24, about 21.
No, you should get your Maverick point.
Thank you.
No.
26, 25.
Oh, yeah. That's just one opinion.
The leader of Stucky Nation.
The overhauling rule is that the Maverick point does not go towards Luke. And in the Excel document, we got Luke.
In reality, Maverick. Tonight was so close, nobody should have received a point.
I'll take the point.
Oh, that's where we're at now.
Okay. Corey did come all the way over here from Wrigleyville.
I'll take the point. But I didn't realize this, but I'm reading this from our friend Brett at Bleacher Nation. One team in the National League, the Mets, has more wins this season against teams above 500 than the Chicago Cubs. Cubs are number two in the National League. And they're also, what now, five games over 500 in the second half? Something like that?
Something like that.
I'm not telling you to get your hopes up for next year, but am I not saying that? You know, Cody and I are all in.
Well, and then I was listening to Sutcliffe, and he was getting excited. So clearly that makes me get excited. All I know is I'm going to be sitting in my apartment with like 7 inches of snow in December, and I'm going to be dreaming.
7 inches?
Yeah. Like I'm going to be dreaming about a 95-plus win team next year because I'm getting way too excited. I know I'm getting way too excited right now. They haven't even hit free agency yet.
It's going to be like 2 in the morning.
This is how I work.
It'll be 2 in the morning on like a Friday night.
I'm ready to be hurt.
They're going to sign Correa. You're going to drive down, pick me up, and we're going to head to the studio and do an emergency podcast at 2:45 in the morning.
And if there's too much snow, we'll get
a snowblower. Somehow we'll find a way to produce the show live on YouTube.
No, Joey will meet us there.
Oh.
Cody. For Correa?
Cody will be on his scooter with a snowblower in front of him, throwing snow down the bike lanes. The only thing about these stats, like, I know their ERA has been great since the All-Star break, right?
For the starters.
That's another one. Okay, so only the Mets have had a better record against 500 teams. All those things are great. But if who you got can show you anything this season, it's that you can turn numbers into whatever you want them to be.
Sure.
Right? Yeah. Like
facts.
The fact F-A-X. Is it's still 69 wins.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Which
we were not happy with at the beginning of the season, but we are happy with at this point.
I think for me, it's more just about like looking at the individual players and how they're contributing to those numbers, right? And it kind of plays into what we talked about, like with Morel and Suzuki and even guys like Adrian Sampson, who I think if you're building the roster right, you're hoping you're not leaning on him for a lot in 2023. But like he's tossed a lot of quality starts, right? And like the more you can have guys contributing to those numbers, I think the better, and they put you in a place to build a roster that, you know, you actually believe in. There we go.
Look at
8 Mile.
You're quick, Joey.
Yeah, you are quick.
8 Mile.
I love how.
See, but he's got the black hoodie on.
He was able to get like the beanie on and everything. Wow.
What do you mean? I didn't. This is a real picture I pulled up from the internet. This is the cover of the movie.
Okay.
Luke has a good skincare routine. That's why it looks like that.
Yeah, it has to be that. Yeah.
Cody, what are you betting on?
You asked me what I'm betting on.
Got some football wagers. What was the total amount of wagers you made from Friday? I'm sorry.
From Thursday.
Let's say from Thursday night football.
To Sunday or to Monday.
Through Monday night football, how many wagers did you place on points bet?
69.
43
wagers. How do you keep track of it all?
Well, you see, Luke, there's just nothing like watching college football from 11 a.m. to like midnight on a Saturday in the fall when you got vibes peaking, when your favorite baseball team is out of it and you're just trying to find a way to increase the vibes. That's by making money watching teenagers sling the pigskin. Then do it the next day and watch adults sling the pigskin. It's just something different. That's the only way I can explain it to you guys. This football season, though, PointsBet, my favorite app, you guys are rocking the gear, is bringing you a better way to bet live games, bet live on games, I mean, sorry, which means before this ad is over, you can place a live same-game parlay bet on the next drive to be a touchdown and cash out your live second-half over bet with PointsBet. You have access to more live football markets than ever before. Build the perfect live same-game parlay by combining your favorite bets anytime during the game, including spreads, totals, player props, and more. Choose the outcome of the next drive and next points with PointsBet Lightning Bets. So whether you're on the move or on the couch, do it live on PointsBet. Download the PointsBet app today and sign up with code CHGO to get your first two risk bets free. Let me say that again. To get your first two bets risk-free up to $2,000. If you're someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER for crisis counseling and referral services. And if you make 43 bets, that does not mean you need to make that phone call. It's when you get past 70, I'd say, in a span of 4 days.
Yeah, it's the push to 70, as we call it. Pins and Ace is the official golf apparel partner of CHGO. We love our Pins and Aces gear. Get tons of compliments. On and off the course, they are a family-owned golf and apparel business. They make amazing polos, hats, golf bags, even our favorite beer sleeve, an innovative product that allows you to store not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, not six, but seven beer cans right in that sleeve, an innovative product that is right there in your golf bag, keeping those drinks cold the entire round. Check out pinsandaces.com. Use the code CHGO to receive 15% off your first order and get free shipping. That's pinsandaces.com. A quick fantasy question for you, Cody, since it's, you know, sort of gambling a little bit. Will Mooney finally catch some passes, or should I go with Waddle of the Dolphins this week, even though he's questionable?
Yeah, he's questionable. He's
or I have Cam Akers or Henderson of the Rams. This is a flex position in a non-PPR.
Well, okay. If Waddle can play tomorrow,
Akers, then Henderson, Waddle, Mooney.
If Waddle can play tomorrow, you can play him. But I'm a little iffy on it just because Tua is also questionable. Ooh. And, I mean, Teddy Bridgewater is, you know, he's about as average gets. So, I don't know about that.
And they're playing the Bengals.
Yeah, but they're
due for a...
Akers scored a touchdown last week. Like, Rams going to play the 49ers. It's going to be run heavy. It's going to be disgusting Monday night.
And Akers also fumbled late in the game, which might be trouble for him.
Mm. Who else did you say you had?
I have his alternate, Mooney? Henderson, and I have Darnell Mooney.
Mooney, you're not going to play Henderson.
But, like, I assume that the Giants are going to just stack the line and be like, all right, Justin Fields, throw the ball and beat us.
Yeah.
I just, if he plays Waddle, he needs, and he does something for you, you have to agree to do his end zone celebration. I don't know if you guys have seen that.
Some sort of like Waddles.
Joey just did it off camera. Mm-hmm. But I want to see you do it if he gets in the end zone for you and you play him. I think that should be the deal.
If he scores two touchdowns, I'll think about it.
All right.
I would say this podcast right now, you got to play Waddle. But if Tua is out, then I would consider Mooney. But I feel like the safe bet is for sure. The safe bet for sure is Waddle. But if you decide against it, then I would go Mooney next.
I've got Waddle in there right now.
Super chat.
We got a super chat from PS5 Live. We don't get a lot of super chats.
Turning biblical losses into biblical wins. Go Cubs. Yeah. Buck 99 from PS.
Michael Collada would hate that lie. This is the second night in a row Collada's not here.
Yeah, is he all right?
Is he okay? I hope he's okay.
Yeah, I hope he's all right.
Maybe he's shocked by all the winning.
Collada, what's up? Where you at? Interesting.
The new bathrooms at Wrigley are so nice. He got lost in there. He can't find his way back.
He might be there. He might be at the game. What do you guys keep talking about? Why do you guys keep talking about Patrick Mooney?
The guy from The Athletic?
Yeah, Moondog. Former colleague of mine.
Yeah.
It's the first person I ever podcasted with.
Yeah.
Before I really knew what a podcast was. you guys saw this. The Rizzo was the, what did they call him? The
understudy, I think.
No. Acting manager for the Yankees tonight after they clinched. Boone said, Rizzo's the acting manager, so he helped make the lineup card. He actually put prospect Oswald Peraza in the cleanup spot, and he had an RBI single, his first in the majors, in his first at bat. And Rizzo was sitting there with the watch. Pose. If you can see it on YouTube. This is from Corey's Twitter.
Chris Kreider, respecter. Okay.
But he wore like a Rolex or whatever watch he's wearing, and he's doing the Boone pose as if he is the manager. I assume this is actually just fun and that Rizzo doesn't actually want to be a manager, but I could be wrong.
I'm just surprised he didn't put himself into pitch.
Oh, you're right.
He has not pitched as a Yankee, and he's bothered Boone about it.
He's going through the lineup. He's looking at the lineup cards.
He's got the managerial gum chewing down with that really strong jaw movement.
He sent Gleyber Torres out with the lineup card.
He's calling to the pen. Look at this.
So incredible. The question becomes...
It is pretty great. It's great.
The question becomes, Rizzo or Ross, what would be a better vibe on the next great Cubs team? Which guy would be the better manager for the next great Cubs team?
Oh, man. I mean, if we're talking about vibes, I'd go Rizzo, but I didn't even want to think about it because the moment that guy makes one mistake, everyone will turn on him. And I've I've read enough Anthony Rizzo slander over the last year.
That is fair.
I've read enough David Ross slander over the last year. So if we're talking strictly for vibes, we're putting Tony in the dugout. Let him do his best David Ross impression.
White Sox have gone with Reinsdorf has hired his buddy to be the manager, which now that's coming to an end. What if David Ross said, I would like to hire Rizzo as my bench coach. He's already got Napoli over at first. Then he said, I want Lester as my pitching coach, and we'll bring back Schwarbs to be our hitting coach when they're done playing. I could actually see like two or three of those happening. We already have Napoli.
Or
Jason Hayward as a bench coach. I could see that happening too.
No. We're just going to have the entire 2016 roster.
There's like real 85 Bears vibes with that whole idea. Let's just, bring in the glory days as much as we can. I mean, I think by the time the Cubs are good again, which I hope is next year, at least to some degree, Rizzo's still going to be playing. So I don't know if he would hop in the managerial seat
could
just
be playing
yet
for the Cubs. You told it. I heard you say it on the podcast.
Listen,
right here with the Cubs.
I'm not trying to talk myself into it, but look, he could opt out. I'm just saying.
He could opt out.
David Ross said there's a hole at first base, No, I think Ross.
The city would erupt if Rizzo was on the
I do. I actually do agree with Cody's point. Like, I always liked David Ross when he was here, but as it's gone on, like, that's always the concern, right? If things go wrong, people are going to be critical of someone that, is like a cult hero here. Mm-hmm. In Ross's case, like Rizzo, I can't do that. And I don't know whether he would be a good manager or not. This is obviously just, for fun.
Yeah. They clinched last
but
night.
But so. I can't.
You mean this isn't serious?
Everything we talk about is serious, Luke. Everything. Who you got is life or death. You guys don't even understand what happens when the cameras are
now.
Off.
The winner gets to pick what they want put on a brick outside Wrigley Field if they're still doing that. We don't think they're actually doing it anymore, but I think that would be a great prize. The winner gets to write whatever they want on a brick,
Stucky
and the
Nation.
Other guys have to pay for it.
Stucky Nation for life.
We could probably get one of those bricks done. I think we could pull that off. So the other big, the big story in baseball tonight, and we're doing this on Wednesday night if you're not watching this live, of course, outside of the 16th home run from Morel, which was the biggest home run hit in the United States.
Biggest home run hit in
or win number 69 States. For the Cubs would be Judge hitting 61.
Sure.
In Toronto,
I guess we can argue Rizzo as his manager.
Yes.
I guess we can argue it. Yeah, we can argue that being a bigger home run than Morel's. I guess we can.
That'll be a good bar trivia question. Who was the Yankees' acting manager when Aaron Judge tied Roger Maris?
Now that is a beer money question.
Because I think I was reading some of the
that
Yankees.
Is a great question.
I'm reading some of the Yankees beat writers. I think technically he was actually the alternate manager. That wasn't just him posing.
Yeah.
Like he really was listed as the alternate to Aaron Boone tonight.
They clinched the AL East last night, so today was kind of one of those
Did they win? They won?
Yeah, last night.
This game.
Oh, Judge. Tonight? I think Judge put them ahead, if I'm not
mistaken. So if they won, Rizzo might be the best leadoff hitter, relief pitcher, / manager in the history of baseball.
Yeah, they won 8-3 tonight.
He's undefeated.
Undefeated.
As a 0.0 ERA, he's 1-0 as a manager.
And he's statistically the best leadoff man in the history of the Cubs.
Yeah.
Build the statue,
wow.
Tom.
Put the statue up. So the question is, the home run, number 61, bounced into the bullpen.
Those guys, there's a couple guys with gloves. You got to catch that. They're leaning over. It's tough. I'm not saying I could do it, right? But you brought the glove. You're there for that moment. You're in those seats. You're in the right spot. You got to secure that bag.
Say you're sitting in the bullpen. What do you do with the ball? Do you give it to Judge?
No.
Does Corey Friedman give the ball to Judge? And if not, what do you do with it?
I got rent to pay. You know what I mean?
There's no way I'm giving it to him.
I don't want an autograph. I'm not going to hold it for $1 billion, but it's definitely worth something. So they either come up with that or I'm going to go take it to an auction house, right? That's what you got to do.
Sean says, give it back for 500 grand. Now, see, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I hold out for 500 grand. Now, you said your strategy as we were sitting on the couch was to go in there, come in and say, I'm a Cubs fan,
this
right?
That was with Pujols. Judge, that doesn't work. My thing was because Pujols...
Oh, you were saying for Pujols.
Yeah, Pujols.
Well, that changed my philosophy.
Both of them were on the road, but Pujols was on the road, and I
Pujols,
was saying...
I never would have given the ball back. I would have done what they did at Harry Carey's. I would have blown up the ball.
And eaten it?
I would have held a ceremony, put it in a box, and put a stick of dynamite, and then blown the thing up.
Didn't they? They put it in spaghetti sauce, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, they ate it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Bartman ball.
Yeah.
The more
yeah,
you know.
Correct. I would have done that with Pujols' home run.
I
would have exploded
If I did catch it, and they bring you down to the locker room or whatever, and they're like, okay, can we negotiate to get the ball back? I would tell them I was a Cubs fan so that they understood I'm not bluffing. I will walk out of here with this ball. I don't want a picture with this dude. I definitely don't want an autographed Cardinals jersey.
Well, do you want it with Judge?
So either pony up or no.
Well, I don't want that for Judge either. My problem with you, if you were going to say that to Judge was,
no, I
well, then how
Judge.
Are we going to get him in free agency? That would be the negotiating play. Be like, not only will I give you this ball, but I will give it
wait,
to you
so the,
I think if that's, you sign
I
with
think
the Cubs.
With the Harry Carey ball, was it arm spaghetti sauce? Was it arm spaghetti sauce like in the song?
8 Mile?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Okay. Just, okay. That joke
that was a stretch,
whatever.
Joey. That
Nick
Joey,
G no. says, was it mom spaghetti? I thought that was well done.
Mom spaghetti.
No,
mom
Judge, spaghetti. I just, like, it's worth so much money. Like, I get that it's a big moment, and I'm not like,
no,
you know, everything, it's not about, like, oh, let me see how much money I can make. But it's like, if you can get 6 figures for this, like, most people at these games, like, that is life-changing money. I mean, clear your bills, pay your mortgage, pay your rent, like...
I wouldn't tell him that, but if I could get 20 grand for it, I'd be like,
oh, yeah.
I'm holding out.
An autograph?
I don't want a stupid bat and jersey. Keep your bat and jersey. You can give me that too, but I still want my 500 grand.
Yeah.
And you know what? While I'm at it, I think I'd like a car.
I think the more interesting question for like maybe me and Cody would be like, if I was out there and Chris Bryant hit his 700th home run, I don't think I could look that man in the eye. And tell him, nah, I'm taking the ball. Oh, I don't think I could. I really don't think so. Like Chris, like Bryant or Rizzo, or if Lester did something, like I'm going to tell Lester, hey, give me
I'm
money
gonna
or
tell
I'm
you
taking
right now,
the ball. No way.
If Cody Delmendo hit his 700th home run in the Beer League softball tournament, if he hit number 700 and somebody's like, what's this softball worth? And they were like, 500 grand. I'd be like, Cody, it's 500 grand. That's it. I'm holding the money. I want the cash.
And then I get a tattoo on my bicep.
This is real. This is real life. Like, if you want your baseball, I'm totally not above holding it out for cash. I don't understand, like, if, oh, for the game, the history of the game, you've got to give him the ball back. I'll tell you what I need. I need 500 grand.
No, I'm with you.
And he's gonna make about 300 million. So while he's at it, I'm going to find out what kind of car he drove here in. And I'll be that jerk and be like, I'll take your car, just hand me the keys and the title, and $500,000, and I will give you the ball.
Pay
back.
Off my season tickets for Matt, the rest of my life.
And also, please sign with the Cubs.
Matt says I would get a tricked-out scooter.
I think, like,
yeah, want more than
it
a
is
scooter
interesting, though.
Ball.
I mean, and, like, obviously most of these people are saying this, and they're not in the situation, nor will they ever be in the situation. But a lot of people do feel that way, you know? Where they're like, oh, if I got it, I'd give it back. It's history.
No,
it means more to them.
They're
a
lying
lot of people
themselves.
Say that.
They're lying to themselves.
Do you think that anybody 10 years from now is going to even remember what happened? Like, oh, that person didn't give the ball back. He held on to the ball for he took $500,000. Like, who cares what people think?
Well, Cody, if this was
your 500 grand,
Cody would love to be villain number one.
Oh, absolutely.
Are you kidding? That's an incentive.
When you were first explaining it, why your ideology behind it, you walked out, then the people would learn, like, there would be headlines like Cubs fan doesn't give ball back
thrilled.
To Pujols. Oh my God, I would love to be
priceless.
That guy.
That alone is priceless.
And then
I would love to be that guy. I would love to tell the entire city of St. Louis to suck my ass, right? Like,
that's the third time Cody has said that tonight.
Like,
he's got a catchphrase, folks.
I dream.
Print the shirts.
Dream. Of, like, making that many people pissed off in that, fuck that place.
It would be that headline, like, Cub fan steals Pujols ball, and it'd be a big picture to Cody, like.
Shane and says, then with a couple middle fingers on the way out, like, oh, man.
Shane
oh
says, God. Pull up the passing tweet, classic. What is the passing tweet? Is this about the home run ball?
I'm not sure, Luke.
Let's find out.
Jeff Passan is definitely a, like, get your money for the ball kind of thing, if I'm guessing.
Blue Jays fan Frankie Lasagna.
Just misses catching.
Well, what's a quote tweet say, Joey?
Yeah, I'm not sure what we're looking for. I think
it's the quote tweet.
Shane, you're going to have to tell us what.
Should have ricotta ball?
The pool. He could have been talking about the Pujols thing, too. Hmm. So Milwaukee did win. I don't love that Milwaukee the Cubs did win, inadvertently.
Yeah. They won 5-1. That's a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not big on that.
They would end up playing each other, wouldn't they? So that's a real, you know, pick your poison situation.
Ricotta cheese.
If it was the Cardinals and the Brewers in that 3-game wild card.
Ricotta cheese that goes on lasagna, which I knew that. I guess it has. There's a pun there.
Well, lasagna sounds delicious after that disaster I had with sweet greens tonight.
Oh, buddy.
I'm surprised we made it this far into the podcast.
What on earth? I ordered sweet greens, which has never done me wrong. It's down here on Randolph. They do a nice job. They do like these healthy bowls, right? You get some nice grain rice. They put it on kale, which I usually don't like.
Yeah.
Or whatever, and it helped. And then I get sliced sweet potato on it, and then some grilled chickens on there, and then they give you some almonds to put on top, and a nice vinaigrette over the top. It's a great, like, healthy bowl. Nice dinner. Shows up tonight, and Grubhub delivered it. It came timely enough. My food shows up, and I'm looking at it. It's like there's like 6 pieces of chicken that look sort of chewed. I don't know what happened. Like, did they not look a little chewed?
The bowl was very empty.
It didn't look
great. The sweet potatoes were sweating. They had like this glistening on them. Then there was like a little lump of rice and one. First of all, I wasn't even supposed to have broccoli in the bowl. There was one half of a piece of broccoli in there and a container that had maybe a quarter filled with vinaigrette sauce. I think somebody ate the salad.
This is also not the first. Didn't something like this happen to Mario with Portillo's?
Yeah,
basically dropped it on the street and said delivered and sent this a picture of a wall.
This was either eaten by the delivery people or somebody in the back room was like hungry and they started eating and then someone just closed the lid on it and sent it out for delivery.
XX is saying, are you really talking about your dinner on a Cubs podcast? Is it your first time here?
Yeah, I'm saying, is this your first time here?
Who's asking that?
Is this the first time you're here in the year of our Lord 2022 with this team? Oh, man.
This is also, we made it 45 minutes.
No, hey, everybody, like, let's Sean stop. We're going to get back. We're going to do an in-depth breakdown of Mark Leiter Jr. for the next 45 minutes. So everybody sit back,
relax. Banking
that's what the chat wants. That's what you're going to get.
We're here before and after. Well, we're here after every game, basically.
Yeah.
If we didn't talk about something other than the Cubs occasionally,
ice cream.
We would lose our sanity.
We've already lost it. We talk about ice. We did a whole pregame show eating ice cream once. What was your favorite part of
Robbie
that show?
Robbie says he didn't tip a Chipotle order 2 years ago. The driver said my food fell out of the bag. I think the driver ate it. I mean, I do know that you run a risk when you order delivery or go through the drive-thru. They're going to screw
it
you. Once
be,
in a
though,
while,
because
you're
it's so
screwed.
Expensive.
You are burying the lead a little bit, Luke.
What's the lead?
I brought cookies.
Oh, well.
Corey did bring in cookies.
Corey did
from
save the day. I had half of a large chocolate chip cookie for dinner. So if you're wondering why I'm sitting here kind of fading, it's because like
Did you not? You didn't eat the sweet greens, I'm guessing.
I didn't feel like it was the right move because I wasn't sure somebody hadn't been eating that or an animal hadn't gotten into it somewhere.
Now let me ask you another question. Did you submit any sort of claim?
I was refunded.
Okay.
I have been refunded, but that hasn't helped my stomach. You know, I'm starved
out
of my
mind. That's why Luke was in such a bad mood about the who you got situation.
Absolutely.
He didn't have a good dinner.
We're
at 10:34. I'm old and hungry.
We still have 12 minutes until Ryan's going to join, so.
We're getting quick baseball in this series. It's not bad.
Yeah, where are we at? We're like 48 minutes in the app. Ryan is, we should bet.
we got a super chat.
Watched my driver eat half my food on camera.
Wow, PS5 dat lie. I'm sorry, my friend, dude. That sucks.
Max says I'm a poor sport because I wouldn't eat my salad from sweet greens.
No, I think of who you got.
Oh, that's too long ago.
The Ring doorbell camera has changed everything.
Good content.
I think that there's so much that you got to be aware of, that you will get caught by the Ring, whether you're a DoorDash guy.
Little Yumper says I should win who you got because I didn't get to eat tonight.
Well, Little Yumper is just one person.
Well, Little Yumper also said that I should win by default. Yeah, he did. We're going with the first choice. I won by default.
No. Max says, for who you got, it's not the first time. See, I appreciate Max giving me the benefit of the doubt the first time around, but Max, I'll do anything to win.
I also got to see Ryan in action last night. I was in section 323 at beautiful historic Wrigley Field. Looked over to my left. I could see our boy putting in the work up there.
There he is.
Speaking of our boy.
Man, his ears were burning.
He's going to see. He's going to try and tell us how Ian Happ won who you got tonight.
Hi, Ryan.
It wasn't Nico. Saying that much, Luke. Sorry.
We've already decided. We gave it to Cody.
Yeah,
but it was questionable. It was that one reversed call that probably changed the. I have a 2-for-4 night and score the game time run.
It was a correct call.
We knew you were going to say that, Ryan.
Was it reviewable or not? That I don't know. I honestly don't know the rule, but Boog Shami seemed to be adamant about the fact that you cannot overturn hit by pitch.
Yeah, that's. I was confused.
Honestly,
about that.
I don't know.
I have no idea, but even if it was, they still got it right. They still got it right. It hit him. It clearly hit him. It was the right call. Cody, you move up another rung.
It's just nice to win one, baby.
Shane wants to know what's in the cups. You don't want to know.
Ryan,
celebrating the 69th win.
Ryan, I was saying that nice. You and I waved at each other at the game yesterday. It's not very exciting, but, you know.
You're not usually up here, are you, on this high up?
No, I was with some friends. Those are great seats. The 300 level now. I can't. What was that? Did that used to be the 400s when they changed? Yeah, 400s and then the 500s behind it. It's the 300s now. Great view.
What was Ryan eating in the press box?
Did they have brownies tonight?
They have brownies every night, cookies every night, and chicken and some kind of red meat.
Brownies are the way to go.
Stuckey's thinking about freaking out the credentials one more time this season.
He's going to go to the last home game.
I didn't realize there was brownies every night.
Stuff some brownies in my pockets for the off season like a squirrel. They do have good brownies. You can't deny that. That's true.
Yet another moment where you can come and just watch this show for free, guys. What a moment.
Ryan, what was said after the game? Wesneski really didn't look like he had his best stuff. He was grinding maybe a little bit, or did he feel pretty good out there?
No, it's actually kind of what he said, that he said he talked to his dad after outings, and his dad told him that's like his best outing where he didn't have his best stuff. Like it was, he knew it, and he said that he didn't really have the feel for, like he didn't feel great about his slider, especially with two strikes. And you could see it wasn't like it wasn't putting many guys away. I think he had two whiffs on 11 swings today, so it wasn't like he was just throwing them off. There was that one, I want to say it was a called third strike that he got with the slider. But I mean, you could just kind of tell with the strikeout total that the slider maybe just wasn't working as well as it had against other liners in the past. But yeah, no, he said that he felt like he was grinding, but. Clearly, the results went well. 5+, one earned run, which is good to see. I mean, I think I know Tommy. We talked to Tommy Hotovy earlier today. I mean, he kind of agreed that it can be beneficial for guys to have these kind of nights where they're grinding, where they don't have their best stuff, where the lineup is bad. You know, they're facing the best lineup so far that he's faced in his career. Like, it's beneficial to have those kind of nights when you can figure out how to truly grind out. Five innings against a major league lineup, against a team that's at least for right now still in the playoff picture. So I think overall was, again, not his best start by any means, but it was a good start just to see how he responded to kind of, you know, traffic on base paths, just a little bit of trouble and adversity during a game.
I mean, you said he called his dad after the game. He talked to him before he talked to the media. That's interesting. Yeah, I mean, last player I can remember, like, actually talking about, like, how much their dad – Chris Bryant used to all the time, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he consulted with his dad a lot about stuff. And I wonder if that's a similar relationship with Wesneski. Like, he really trusts his father's his father's eye, because he's seen more baseball than anybody else and more of his pitching than anybody
else.
I mean,
if I were a major league pitcher, my dad would be calling to yell at me after everything, you know, you didn't locate your fastball, something like that. Ryan, I'm curious, anything on Alzolay, like how they're viewing how this is, you know, it's only a few outings, but how they're viewing how this is going. I know he's in all of these, he's, you know, going out, sitting down, coming back out, but any thoughts on like his progress or anything like that a few outings in?
So I actually talked to Adbert pregame, not specifically about that, but just kind of what, you know, his last couple weeks and being back. Obviously, like he said, the results really don't matter that much. Like, there's not a whole lot you're going to take out of 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks of a big league season when you've missed the first almost 6 months. He's very focused on obviously going out there, working with the pitches that he's started to develop, you know, trying to find the right pitch mixes against, you know, against righties, against lefties, and just getting to the offseason healthy. I mean, the ERA is high and he gave up a hit or two today during the game, but again, the results are ultimately not what matters right now for Adbert. It's just being healthy enough to pitch right now and then being healthy enough to go and hit his offseason program running as soon as the season ends.
Madrigal, this was yesterday though, right? But I guess we didn't spend a whole lot of time talking about it. Madrigal is completely finished for the season, correct?
Yeah, Ross said Madrigal's finished. He kind of just said that he's done. Didn't get a whole lot into it, but kind of feels like it's one of those things where he kind of, you know, he's had already a groin strain earlier in the season. Not a whole lot of time to come back at any, you know, for the rest of the season. So, it kind of felt inevitable. Like, it kind of felt like that just confirmed it more than was sent any shockwaves and around Cubs Twitter. Madrigal is done for the season, which is, again, a disappointing kind of outcome for Nicky Two Strikes.
Little conversation I saw on Twitter about Brandon Hughes. Some guys were discussing maybe the fact of maybe they're using him too much, and considering the season is done. I don't know. Have you talked to him at all recently about like his innings, or even Ross about his innings? Just because some people are a little concerned with that.
I mean, no, not specifically, but I don't see the concern. I mean, he's not going out there and throwing 30 pitches every night. Like, his last five outings have been like 16 pitches or less. Even today was about that much. Maybe I don't know if there's concern over the fact that he rolled his ankle over the weekend and was like back in there pitching and has pitched the last three games. I mean, I know Ross, you know, really praised Brandon Hughes after the game today. He's one of Brandon Hughes is probably his most trusted reliever at this point. You see it, putting him up against Kyle Schwarber, putting him up against Brandon Hughes. And he trusts him. And you know, David Ross is always adamant that, like, regardless of how many games are left in the season, regardless of, you know, where they're at in the standings, like, he wants to win every day. And if it's a situation where Brandon Hughes didn't, you know, I think maybe threw 10 pitches yesterday, so it's not like it's over. I get the idea of, like, I think he's pitched like 54 times already since he got called up. I think I saw that on Twitter. It doesn't strike me as something to be concerned about. I know, you know, David Ross, just again, he's likes Brandon Hughes enough to where, even though he's a rookie, he said actually after today's game that, you know, he's not a guy that David Ross is worried about. Like, that's just where it is. So, I mean, no, I don't see cause for concern over that. I don't think that's anything people need to be worried about.
I will then not get concerned about this being a C-Sheck Madden situation. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, realistically, if Ross is trying to win a game and he can only trust Brandon Hughes right now, it makes sense that he would throw him in there. You hope that in the future they have the bullpen pieces where he can trust everyone outside of Brandon Hughes, right? So I mean, until unless this continues into next season, then you come up with, then maybe you have a little more cause for concern. But right now, I wouldn't.
Full C-check.
That's
the only thing. And you know how
David loved him some Jonathan VR and Andrelton Simmons, man. Like, you know, I'm not trying to get too concerned.
I don't think that's a good comparison.
Brandon Hughes is actually good.
Yeah.
I won't stand for the Simmons slander on this podcast. By the way, our chat is unbelievable. First, Ravi says, my dad would tell me in the car after a bad Little League game, I paid for Wells Park for you to strike out three times.
Stan says, over. Nothing is over until we say it's over. That's fair.
Animal House line there.
I too am looking for the over. We need over 75.5 wins for me to win this season total bet for the Cubs. So the Cubs need to win out. I'm once again asking for another win tomorrow.
And then this is probably for you, Ryan. Becky says Coolio died, so I will hang up and listen to get your comments. Thank you. Out of nowhere, Becky just says Coolio died.
I did just see that on Twitter, actually. R.I.P. Oh,
you hadn't seen that Coolio died?
No.
It was like 4 hours ago.
Yeah, they played Coolio at the stadium tonight.
They played Gangster's Paradise?
I think they played something on the Oregon.
Oh, Fantastic Voyage. They played Fantastic. Well, they might have played Gangster's Paradise at some point, but the one that I heard and the one that we all kind of tweeted about was Fantastic Voyage.
Sorry, bad Ryan. Day. It's my bad.
Bad day.
Yeah, that's it. Anything else from the ballpark other than it looked pretty cold tonight? See, you've got a hoodie on. You dressed correctly.
Well, I also had to put a jacket on. Which yeah. It was literally just, it was. I just golfed on Saturday in shorts. Like, what happened? What happened to the weather? I don't love it. As far as other things, we talked to Saya today.
What did you think of his new hair, Ryan?
The blonde hair.
Yeah.
I was a little surprised to see it. He joked. He said that it was due to stressing out over his child, his newborn, not being able to not going to sleep. Uh-huh. He said it just naturally turned blonde. No, but he was in Japan. He went on the paternity list and stayed on the restricted list while waiting for his baby to be born. Now that that's happened, he's back. And I know he says that he's trying to get back in the lineup as soon as possible. He is jet lagged going, out to Japan, didn't get to work out a lot just because of that. And then obviously a newborn and then now the jet lag coming back from Japan. And I do remember they were talking about, just making sure his hand's okay before getting him in there, but they did say yesterday that as soon as he got back from Japan, like he kind of went straight to the cage and hit. So maybe see Saya back in the lineup tomorrow. I guess we'll find out tomorrow morning.
That's encouraging. That's encouraging because it's not that I was worried, but it had felt like it'd been a while. You know what I mean? And they moved him to the restricted list, and it was just weird, So
well, the restricted list was just because I think what was said over the weekend was that he was kind of still waiting for the baby to be born.
Right.
Like he get the 3 days of paternity leave and then move to the restricted list for other reasons. I think it was just because it took an extra day or two or something. I think that's what we were told. But the hand was something that was obviously affecting him previously. If all goes well, he could be in the lineup as early as tomorrow. So something to keep an eye on.
All right. We'll see if they can finish off the Phillies, help out the Brewers again, I guess. I guess that's what you're rooting for.
One more.
We got to get to 70.
Yeah.
If it means the Brewers get into the postseason.
Yeah. One more thing.
Yeah.
We talked about it.
Oh, yes.
End.
Sorry.
We talked about it at the end of the last night's podcast. Yes. But just another, we're throwing it back out there, doing a, what are we calling it, Joey?
Casual Friday with Cody.
Casual Friday with me. And I perhaps Corey will come and hang
gonna
out
try.
Too.
Yeah.
Hanging out at Murphy's Bleachers. The bar opens at 11 a.m. I'm pretty sure that's when, even on 120 game days, I'm pretty sure they still just open at 11. So me and my girlfriend and one of her friends, and anyone else, honestly, we will be at Murphy's before the game, probably going to sit in left field. If I could, I would buy all your drinks and your tickets, but I can't. This is basically just our own way for thanking everyone for their support, because we didn't do like a tailgate or any kind of get together like we have for CHGO Bears, White Sox, and the Bulls watch party that we did in April. So, again, if you're in Wrigleyville, if you're in Chicago and you want to come hang out with us.
So it's beer, vibes, and baseball, not necessarily in that order.
Yeah, it's a mixture of those.
And the thing that will – see, now Stan is pointing out, not paid for by Cody.
Yes.
He will not be buying your drinks, okay?
This is so basically a –
Bring your wallets and purses.
Yes.
Your IDs.
Right.
This is not free beer. This is not
a way for the CHGO community to come hang out and, like, not only just me but, and Corey, but even, like, other Cubs fans who watch the show.
It's like when you and Rachel hung out.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
At Murphy's. Now, the only thing that I understand will be free at this will be free betting advice, if you'd like it from Cody. Cody will not pay for your drinks, but he will give you free wagering advice.
There are college football games
Friday night. Proceed at your own risk.
Yeah, so it should be a good time. Ryan, you should come too.
I'll be literally across the street. I'll be here.
Yeah, I know. That's why I say you should come
sneak out
for, like, I don't know, a half hour or something. Whatever.
At least go to that patio, you know, on the back of the bleachers, Ryan, and wave to us.
Yeah, there you go.
Sounds good.
See, now I feel like if we had post game here, I could drive there, come do post game here. But I'm not going all the way from Arlington Heights to Wrigley to drive back to Arlington Heights.
Yeah,
he just doesn't want to hang out with us.
It's not in studio, is it?
No, we're remote. We're remote on Friday.
Did that get changed?
See, so Corey and Cody are closer to Wrigley.
Yeah. So make.
I don't want to give out exact addresses.
Well, I was gonna say we.
I think
we
Cody has before.
Corey loves it. Nice. Corey lives at 1027 Addison.
Cody doxed Corey a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Corey's at 405 West Gray Street.
And most people know when I'm standing outside of Wrigley Field anyway. If it's that interesting to anybody, but well, you can do the post game in, you know, in my place.
No.
He tried.
No, that's a no.
It's gonna be a no for him, dog.
All right, so we got the ass man Assad throwing.
The ass man
against the Phillies.
Sweep.
I'm not allowed to pick him for who he got, but I will be there in the morning to get my who he got.
When pick. The Cubs are going for the season sweep, correct?
Season sweep.
Season
yes.
sweep of the
row.
Phillies.
Yeah.
That is not good for the
Never
Philadelphia
forget,
Phillies.
They swept the Phillies just right out of the All-Star break.
Oh, it was all right. Joe Girardi's fault.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not. Maybe not.
Maybe they just, you know, maybe they're just not good.
When we'll see what David Ross and Kyle have been jokingly mouthing off at each other when he comes up to the plate every game. David booed him the first game. Yeah. Kyle booed him tonight back. So we'll see what they have for the finale. Although, Kyle, they really need to win that game. So I maybe less screwing around for them. But we're not competing for a playoff spot here. So, you know, David can have
we
all the funny
ones. We are competing
ones.
For the season total over.
And still competing with the White Sox for the same record this season.
Absolutely.
Still possible.
Still possible.
Still possible. Cubs win 4-2. Thanks for joining us for the CHGO Cubs postgame podcast presented by PointsBet. We will be back tomorrow. Postgame show only.
Here.
We'll be live in studio. Hope you'll join us then. Until then, fly the W.
Ravi dabbing too.